with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus was going through a field of grain on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "See, your disciples are doing what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God and ate the bread of offering, which neither he nor his companions, but only the priests, could lawfully eat? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests serving in the temple violate the Sabbath and are innocent? I say to you, something greater than the temple is here. If you knew what this meant, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned these innocent men. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's readings, we see God's divine pedagogy, the way that he would teach us and train us. In the Old Testament, he couldn't have been more detailed with regard to what the Jews would need to do before that 10th plague, how they were to prepare a lamb for 5 days, just be around the lamb, how they were to cook the lamb, gave absolutely precise indications, how they were to eat the lamb, what they were going to be wearing, that they were going to be standing, that they were going to have their sandals on their feet. Jews would always take their sandals off and have their feet washed at the beginning of a meal. What they would do with the blood after they had received it. So many particular rubrics, we could say, the Lord had given them to follow for the sacrifice. And it led to a particular approach. They started to take the little things seriously. Then they started to exceed those little things, lest they ever come close to breaking what God had given. They weren't even going to get in the neighboring zip code. And so when the Lord had said, "Keep holy the Sabbath day, and you shall not do enslaving work on the Sabbath, because you were once slaves in Egypt," they said, "Well, if we're never going to work, what does that mean?" And the scribes took over. And it meant, for example, that you couldn't lift anything that weighed more than 2 dried figs. That would be work. And they started to take, rather than learning the real lesson of the training God had given them to see the more important thing, to discipline them so that they could focus on the essential, so that they wouldn't have to worry about these things, they began to obsess about the little stuff and miss the big stuff. "Strain out a gnat," Jesus would say elsewhere, "in order to swallow a camel." What was all of this sacrifice supposed to do? Supposed to teach them about God's mercy, that God rescued them from the clutches of Pharaoh, and that sacrifice was to transform them so that they would care for others in the same way. God would say to the Israelites in the desert often, "Remember the way I treated you when you were slaves. You are to treat the slaves and the wanderers just the same way I treated you. You're to love your neighbors. In essence, I have loved you." In the gospel, Jesus wants to make that clear. When the disciples were going through the field of grain on the Sabbath, now it was quite possible when you were going through in somebody else's field, it was right there in the book of Deuteronomy that if you were hungry, you could take some of the grain, not more than you needed, but you could take some of the grain just to eat. But because of the way the scribes had taken over the third commandment, they had banned various types of work on the Sabbath. First was to take. Second was to winnow. Third was to thresh. Fourth was to prepare. And so what they seemed to be doing was a quadruple violation of the Sabbath, where all it was not obsessing about the details the scribes had made about the Sabbath. So when they had come to Jesus and attacked his disciples for doing this, Jesus wanted to teach a very important lesson about what the Sabbath is. Sabbath is about loving God and having the opportunity freely to love others. It's not about enslaving, and it's certainly not about starving. God the Father wouldn't want that. So we gave two analogies today. If you've not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry, they went into the temple. There were 12 showbreads there that would rest for a week. And at the end of the week, they would be replaced with 12 others, and the 12 showbread would be eaten by the priests there at the temple. But because they were fighting for the Lord and they were hungry and needed strength, went on in and consumed these 12 showbread. And they weren't violating the law of the Lord, because God had commissioned them, and we shouldn't take the sign, and make it as important as the signified or the symbolized. Second example Jesus gave was about the work that the priests do on the Sabbath. They've got to light candles. They've got to sacrifice animals. I mean, there's so much that needs to be done on the Sabbath, and the priests do it, and they're not in violation. So if you're doing service of the Lord on the Sabbath, that is not a violation of the Sabbath. We're going to see throughout this chapter 12, which begins today, how Jesus is going to be confronted by the Jews, particularly about the fact that he was getting toward the essence of the divine law rather than obsessing blindly about the details, and they would eventually conspire to kill him over that great shift. It's important for us as we see the divine pedagogy from, it's got to start with the particularities, because unless we can do those types of things, we're never going to be able to see the essence. But then it's supposed to pass from the essence. And a lot of us, it doesn't. You see it with Catholics all the time. You see it, frankly, with the old Latin Mass crowd in a lot of places, where they begin to focus so much on the red letters that they don't focus enough on the black. I remember when I first started celebrating that Mass, a woman came into the sacristy after the Mass outraged that I didn't speak out. My back was turned to the people when this was happening, but I didn't speak out that all of them had stood at the beginning of the Alleluia, not at the end of the Alleluia, when the Lord says the Lord, when the priest says the Lord be with you at the beginning of the Gospel, as if that were a big deal. The people were excited for the word of the Lord and that they were going on the rubrics of the new Mass. What's the whole point? It's the joy of praising the Lord and the Alleluia. A lot of the times in religious life, we can worry about the minutiae of the rules rather than about what they're trying to bring about in us, which is what God wants. We can become enslaved to some of these prescriptions rather than have these prescriptions free us to fulfill it, even in certain circumstances that weren't foreseen, where they have to be adapted. Great divine pedagogy, that the Lord does give us that training at the beginning, precisely so that we can see the bigger point. And the whole point of what God asks us to do is to be transformed, to become more and more like Him. That's the point of all our worship. Now, if you can permit me, I want to do something a little bit more specific with regard to the first reading and the Mass. God gave them all of these prescriptions about the Passover celebration. And every morning, we celebrate the new and eternal Passover. And there are certain elements that the Lord wants to give us in training so that we can really celebrate this great gift as it ought to be celebrated. I mentioned first the preparation that took place. You know, God could have easily said to the Jews, on the 14th of the month of Nisan, go out in the morning and get lamb from the sheep or the goats. Just go get one that morning and then just prepare it. He didn't. He wanted them to hang out with the lamb for 5 days. Go on the 10th of the month of Nisan and get that lamb. He wanted them, in a sense, to spend time with the one to be sacrificed. What does that mean for us? If we're really going to celebrate Mass, well, we just can't show up. We need to spend time with the one who is to be sacrificed. We need that time with the Lord in prayer. God wills it. Second, we see about how this Paschal lamb was to be cooked. The entire lamb was to be cooked, whole. What does that mean? It was all meant to be part of the sacrifice. Similarly for us, when we unite ourselves to the Lamb and then when we sacrifice the eternal Lamb of God, it's supposed to be a whole sacrifice. There's supposed to be an entire oblation or entire immolation. Not just parts. It's not just something he does and then he gets on with life, or something that we do as a small little part of our rule. There's supposed to be an entire oblation, giving of ourselves whole and entire. St. Paul would say later in his 12th chapter of his letter to the Romans, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. You're the only worship that makes sense. That when we come at the beginning of every day for this new and eternal Passover, together with the Lamb, we become part of that sacrifice. And we're supposed to be given it all. As I like to preach during Lent in that most beautiful English hymn ever, when I survey the wondrous cross, that fourth verse is, were the whole realm of nature mine, it were an offering far too small to offer the entire world, would be far too small. For love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That's the second thing God wanted the Jews to learn from the way they would celebrate the Passover. And that's what he wants us Christians to learn in this new and eternal Passover. The third thing we see is how we are to dress for it. And the dress was symbolic. Loins girt. In other words, you've wrapped everything up so that you can run. Sandals on your feet. You're ready to move. Because God wants us to take the sacrifice out. He wants us to go out and serve. He doesn't want us to remain, for example, at the top of the mountain of the Transfiguration. He recognized that most of our life is going to be spent at the bottom of the Mount of Transfiguration, healing and serving. That we come here ready to be transformed, but also ready to move on an exodus from selfishness into selflessness. With our loins girt. Fourth aspect is what to do with the blood. The Jews were to take the blood with a hyssop branch and mark it over their lintels. And then the avenging angel, which is really an angel of justice, coming to punish for sins, would skip over that home. We need to grasp every time we come for this. We deserve to be dead because of our sins. In our sins, we have executed ourselves. We've become the assassins of our soul, to use the expression of St. John Vianney. But the Lord Jesus has us take his blood, not just wipe it over the doors, which are meant to symbolize a passage from old to new. But we're supposed to have that blood run through our veins. Salvific blood of the Lord Jesus. Cuius una stella totum mundum salvum facere, as St. Thomas Aquinas would write. One drop of which is enough to save the whole world, in the Adoro Dei Devote. The meaning of this blood, the meaning of this salvation we receive, that we come because without this we would die. And this is the means by which the Lord gives us to live. We pray that Jesus prayed it when he took that Passover rite and fulfilled it in the Last Supper, when he said, "This is the chalice of my blood, which will be poured out for you and for the many for the forgiveness of sin." It's being poured out for the forgiveness of our sins, and we need not just to wipe lintels, but to really bathe, almost drown, in this salvific blood. And then the last point is we have to eat the lamb. Scott Hahn likes to say in his beautiful and powerful tape on the fourth cup, if the Jews had done all these other prescriptions, and they had just started to yawn and say, "Time for bed, I don't really have an appetite," and they hadn't eaten the lamb, they would have awoken, and their firstborn sons would likewise have been dead. It's necessary to eat the lamb. In other words, to become one with the sacrifice. Likewise for us, we're to come to eat the Lamb of God, to become one with his sacrifice. That's the way is. Body to head and his bride to bridegroom, we make this one eternal sacrifice to the Father. This is the way we are transformed, and then together with the Lord, in whose sacrifice we have not just partaken from the outside, but become, that we are then to become his body given for others, his blood to be shed for others. The real means by which they will be able to be incorporated into this Passover, not from Egypt through the desert into the Promised Land, but from death in Christ into heaven. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done to me? The cup of salvation I will take up, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Let's pick up that cup of salvation with great gratitude, and then let us ask the Lord for the grace to live what we do here. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.